missed you. Looking cool.
Welcome the new line.
Young'uns Podcast. Previously on the Young'uns Podcast. Feet, fish, flirting, philosophy, fricatives and fork.
So what you need to do right now, give it a little sort of shake. Now lying on the floor. Oh, you've got a lot of hair on your stomach, Michael. Oh, that's totally boobilicious.
He's attacking me! The non-moving statue is attacking me!
This must be the biggest, the thickest toilet roll.
Welcome to the 106th Young'uns Podcast. My name is David Eagle, and together with my friends Sean Cooney and Michael Hughes, we are the folk group The Young'uns, and this is our podcast. Now, there might be some of you listening thinking, why have you just done that introduction, David? We listen every single week, we know who you are. Well, I think it's safe to say that we'll have probably an influx of new listeners to this week's podcast, because you may not be aware of this, listeners, regular listeners might not be aware of this, but The Young'uns are famous now, and we have well and truly sold out. We were in a film with David Walliams, Catherine Tate, Miranda Hart, Vic Reeves. For anyone who doesn't know, we were singing a song alongside Vic Reeves about smelly pirates with hairy knees in a film called Itch of the Golden Knit. And we'll be telling you more about our television debut later on the podcast. As well as that, you will hear the song that we performed in. You'll hear us performing it live at a gig just to create the anticipation. And then later on in the podcast, you'll hear the real thing. My goodness. We'll be speaking to the composer of the film soundtrack, John Brown. And we'll be speaking to the person who had the honour of playing the drums on that album. Film. I've just given it away. Oh, well, all right, then I shouldn't have said that, listeners, but I'll just between you and I, there may be a Smelly Pirates album. That's all I can say. And Jim Molyneux, who we're speaking to on this week's Young'uns Podcast, who played the drums on the Smelly Pirates song in the film, might just be playing the drums on the album. I shouldn't have really said that, but never mind. I'll be asking Jim what it was like to play the drums on such an epic piece of work. And Jim's got a little side project on the go. When he's not doing amazing things like recording drums for the I'm a Smelly Pirate concept album with the Young'uns. Oh, I've done it again. Concept album, I've said now. I'm just letting too many cats out of the bag. When Jim's not playing the drums for Smelly Pirate songs, he's got a little side project on the go, a band called Foursquare. And if we've got a little bit of time left over after we've talked about the ins and outs and all of the detail that we're going to be talking to Jim about from the Smelly Pirate recording, if we've got a little bit of time, we might have a couple of tracks from Foursquare and chat to him a little bit about his band as well. So that'll be nice, won't it? A little bit of a break. So, you know, we don't want the fame to go to our heads. As well as that, we'll be visiting a takeaway to, and I think I can't remember where it was based. It was based on a festival that we did, and we went to this takeaway place. There was some rather interesting musical performance that took place at that takeaway, and fortunately I was armed with a digital recorder and I was able to preserve this musical performance, and we should be bringing you it on the Young'uns Podcast. So live music that was so privileged to happen upon on the Young'uns Podcast. It might have been lost forever, it might have been ephemeral, but fortunately I managed to preserve it, and we were bringing it to you on this week's Young'uns Podcast. When the Young'uns aren't eating takeaways, we are, of course, indulging in an Indian meal. And this week is no exception in what I think is going to become a series, because every single festival we do, we must frequent an Indian restaurant. And this week, we have a rather late-night drunken experience in an Indian restaurant. And what do female Morris dancers get up to in toilets? Well, I'm not quite sure, but you'll find out what the heck I'm going on about later on this week's Young'uns Podcast. And as well as that, we record all sorts of musings when we're on tour. So I'll bring you a couple of little things that came into our heads and happened while we were on tour. We also have a live song from the Young'uns. And some listeners will be thinking, oh yes, all very predictable. He's introduced the podcast, he said what's coming on, now he's going to play the Young'uns, because that's what he's done for the last 2 weeks. So here is the live track from the Young'uns, I imagine. No, there's no holding us down on the Young'uns podcast. You think it's going to be the same formula? We don't subscribe to formulas here. No, we're going to play the Young'uns later in the podcast this time. Yeah, exactly. And I thought we'd start with a bit of a lively opening from Foursquare. Actually, I thought we'd have a couple of minutes of Foursquare, and that'll get us all in the mood for the podcast, because I don't know about you, but I'm not quite in the mood yet. You may think, oh, but you're doing such a good job, David. So, yeah, I am, but just you wait. So we'll start with some Foursquare, and this is the end to a lovely little track called Egypt. And I'd like to dedicate this song to Michael Hughes. Now we're ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Itch of the Golden Knit. I don't really need to explain too much about it, to be honest, because Sean Cooney takes up the story, what the Smelly Pirate song's all about and what the Itch of the Golden Knit's all about. And we join Mr. Cooney and Michael Hughes and myself, firstly at Peterborough. And then we skip forward in time a few weeks to Hard Draw, and then we talk a little bit more about the song, and then we sing the song. We have you'll hear a performance of the song, and then there's a little bit more dissection of what it was like recording the song, and then there's a little bit of audience laughter, and just as you think the jokes maybe have dried up, there's a little joke that I make at the end, which is rather funny, and that's it. Then it ends. So that's what you've got to look forward to in the clip to come in the next 4 minutes. Very exciting stuff.
We recorded a song, and it was kind of a real treat to be involved in this project. We do a lot of work for the Sage in Gateshead, which is a fantastic music venue on the River Tyne. The phoned us up and said, "Oh lads, we want you to sing this. We're involved in this film with Aardman Films, who make Wallace and Gromit." And we thought, "Oh, brilliant. We've got this pirate song we want you to sing along to." And the project is great because it's a film that's entirely been written and scripted and animated all by kids, like thousands of kids all around the country. And it's called The Itch of the Golden Knit. But it's got like an all-star cast of voices. David Williams out of Little Britain, he plays the knit. And Catherine Tate plays the itch, I think. And anyway, but there's a whole...
It's got like an all-star cast. And Vic Reeves, who's from our neck of the woods, he plays Captain Ironears. And at one point he sings a roaring pirate song, and they asked us to join in with it, to be his backing singer, so it was absolutely fantastic.
What's really funny about it, the reason they asked us, because the man told us, this eccentric Irish man, he said, "Yeah, I asked for someone who, was kind of out there and did shanties and was really sort of roaring shanties, but at the same time, someone who wouldn't intimidate the classical world."
That's right, I don't know if there's any world that you wouldn't intimidate, David. Anyway, so we got a call from this fantastic Irish composer called John Brown. He's just the best person we've ever worked with. I think he was immense, and he was from Cork. And he phoned up, and because we knew that we had to record this song on Tuesday at Newcastle. So he phones like late on Friday night. He says, "Oh, hello there, is that a young one?" And I said, oh yeah, hey there. Oh, it's John Brownie. Oh, great. Well, I want to tell you all about this pirate song. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. We just want to know how ye are going to harmonise, and if you need it written down, or if you just do it, you know. And I said, oh, great, John. Tell us a bit more about the song. He said, oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to have knobbly knees and bells of rum and up and down the ring. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be more pogues than un tanks. But it's going to be great. Oh, it's fantastic. And I said, oh, brilliant, John. Can you send it through to us? So whenever Patty says, oh, Jesus, Joseph and Mary, I haven't written the fucking thing yet.
On the Friday before we
did. But he did write it, you know, and it's genius. So David Eagle is going to sing it for you now.
I'm going to be Vic Reeves. So I'm just getting the character. Oh, I'm a smelly pirate, and I sail the seven seas. Oh, he's a smelly pirate, and a stinky pirate stays. With every name, I like to count my treasure, I've lots of gold to measure. I like to sail on a boat, cause it floats better than a goat. So bear in mind, I think that's a rather sort of flippant song, but this composer really took it seriously. So we sort of sang it, and we sang it, we thought, fairly heartily, but he took us aside and went, that was really good, but you need to do it better than that. You can do it better. Well, and he shut the door, because bear in mind, there's loads of kids. He gives us this really weird sort of teen talk. He goes, when I envisage this song, I want you to encapsulate hairy knees, I want you to encapsulate rum. This song is going to embody everything that a pirate means. When I hear this song, I want people to think, oh my God, that's the youngest, it's pirate, it's hairy knees. Don't you fucking mess around with me! And then opens the door and goes, okay, kids, so we're ready again for the show.
The great fella.
I hope you're all going to buy the films, you're only pirate copies, do we? Yeah. Oh, God, I think we'll do that one again. Right.
It's time for the young'uns in a church in Holmfirth, singing Peter Bellamy's Rolling Down to Rio.
Sean says he's not sure about doing this one, but some people have heard us do it already about three times. But if anyone goes to church, they hear the same thing week in, week out.
Oh, David,
it's
a bit
of a day. This is a fitting place to do it.
Tom and the Magdalena, they can go there when they will. Yes, weekly from Southampton, great steamers bright and gold. Or Dillo within his armor. suppose I never will, unless I go to Rio, these wonders to behold. Roll down to Rio, roll down to Rio, and I'd love to roll to Rio someday before I bolt. Yes, I'd love to roll to Rio.
Well, it's the young'uns in the Holmfirth Church, in a Holmfirth Church, not the necessarily the definitive one. I mean, that would be really taking religion to an extreme. It's bad enough, you know, we believe there's only one God, we believe there's only one church. That would be, I would take it to an extreme. I mean, I know the Catholic, I think the Catholics do sing that, and they say that in the creed. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, indeed. There you are, a little bit of creed information for you there. Next week, we're going to do the act of contrition. The act of the contrition next week on the Young'uns podcast. Keep it educational. That's what it's all about. Anyway, there's a little point, but that's not the main point. That was a little, that was just, I was just using that as a device to build the tension. Because the real thing that we're interested in is what did this Smelly Pirate song sound like? So I'll play you a bit of Vic Reeves beforehand, and then we'll have the Smelly Pirate song, and then there's a little bit of, there's a bit of dialogue at the end as well. So this is how it sort of fitted into the film. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the moment you've been waiting for.
Oh, be this in my hearty ocean. Oh, I'm a smelly pirate and I sail the seven seas.
Yes, he's a smelly pirate and a stinky pirate he. With hairy knees.
I like to count me treasure, I got too much to measure. I like to sail on a boat. It floats better than a goat. I like to sail the seven seas.
Smelly saviors.
We don't save for free, you know. You must pay us in gold.
Gold, 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 gold.
Ooh. Ah, a work of art. An absolute work of art, ladies and gentlemen. And it's very difficult to come down from that and start and play bloody folk clubs again. Folk clubs, you know, standing there on stage singing songs about mining after we've reached to such a height. I bet you the fisherman's friends were looking at that there, or watching that on the television, wringing their hands through their hair, on the phone to the record label. We can't understand it. We are the take that of the shanty world. Why wasn't it us? What can they say? How can they break the news to them? They just couldn't encapsulate the song in the same way. The band had been arguing all the time. I swear it was that note that you did in that fish finger song. I told you, you should have sounded more like a pirate. If you'd sounded more like a pirate, then we would have been asked to do the Smelly Pirate song.
And it's cheer up, me lads. Let your hearts never fail. For the Young'uns podcast here, and it's going to prevail.
Anyway, we're going to hear from John Brown now, the composer of the Smelly Pirate song, the music to the Smelly Pirate song. The words were created by children, and find out what it was like working with these children and how he found composing the soundtrack for the film.
Hello.
Good afternoon, John.
Mr. Eagle.
Well, this is a unique experience for me, John, because I'm recording this part of the podcast from work.
All right.
Yes, I feel like I'm like a naughty child.
What is the work? What is the day job?
I'm primarily doing a website,
Right.
But I have not really, on all the things that I've done on the podcasts and the blog and things like that, I've never actually really alluded to where I work or the type of work that I do. And I quite like the idea of having that other, you know, that other alter ego, as it were, or alter eagle, as it were.
Alter eagle.
Exactly, yeah. Because at work, you see, they call me Davis Eagles rather than David Eagle. And the reason for that is because when I first came here, for some reason, they got my email address wrong. And so they've registered me in the system at davis.eagles and then the domain name where I work. And so it's kind of stuck. So now I actually feel as if I am in a different identity. I am living under a multiple kind of identity. And so this helps, you see. So this is quite odd because I'm now technically in the David Eagle persona, but I'm kind of doing it from work. It's really odd.
Which one would I address, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. You could. I might change at any minute. I might just fluctuate between the two. Who knows what's going to happen? It's happened, John. The moment of waiting is over. The edge of the golden net has been released to the unsuspecting public.
It has.
Yes, very, very interesting. What about how did the whole project come about from your perspective then? Your part of the project, the composer part. You're playing the part of the composer. You were not playing the part of the composer in the film, but you are the composer of the score, aren't you?
No, I wasn't playing that part. Yeah, it came about because I, in my non-itchy life, both, you know, I compose a lot of music with and for children, and I've done, I suppose, several operas. From all points of view, me writing an opera in my own home, which adult professionals perform to an audience of children, or me going into a school over 6 months with the children, devising and creating an opera, for instance, to reopen the Royal Opera House in London about 10 years ago when it had closed for one very expensive refurb, etc. And I've written three operas for English National Opera in which a large chorus of children appear in. So my attachment to the project was because A, children, and B, because of the idea of facilitating children's ideas. And so that's how I came to be involved. And because I am not just children and all that kind of thing, but stories. So I'm involved in telling stories through music, mostly on a stage, less so on film or celluloid or anything like that, or not celluloid anymore, on the digital version of that. So my role then involved conceiving how could the music for this film be created with maximum input from children. And so what I set about really was mostly focusing on getting children to perform the music. So apart from yourselves, apart from the young ones, and apart from some leading vocals from the likes of Catherine Tate and other luminaries from the British comedy,
including of course Vic Reeves, who we were singing with.
I had all the music performed by children, and I say children, I mean I say school children. So I'm stretching children right up to the end of school age. So they, you know, the older school children involved were about 16, 17, up to that kind of age. You know, National Youth Orchestra, maybe even going up to 18. But we had them as young as 5 or 6 performing that music as well. So I also had, like, lots of opportunities for children then to input ideas in different ways. They had this website which children could record themselves and making any kind of sound with their voice or with an instrument or just...
My goodness, John, I bet there are some interesting results there.
A huge bank of it, which fortunately I didn't have to sift through the world.
No. I mean, imagine that as a job, you know, it's your job to literally sift through 1,000 children's belches. I mean, yeah. Exactly. I don't envy that person.
No. That would be a lifetime worth of work. So that was how it came about. That was the whole deal. And I think they ultimately had, you know, input from 40,000 children. By far, most of those were inputting visual ideas. In other words, drawings, etc. But many of them were contributing the lines. Most of the dialogue has actually been written by children, one form or other. It was a delight.
So with the project then, you were talking about how it was conceived by children, and of course the Smelly Pirate song itself was conceived by children, or at very least the words are conceived by children.
Yeah.
How did you were working with children as well, actually, in the live environment though, because there's a clip on the actual making of part of it where you're going through sort of a cold atmosphere, I think it was, and you were saying, well, how do we generate the cold? What instruments do we need? And what kind of tempo would it be? And what would it sound like?
Yeah.
So what kind of a process was it like that to get together? I imagine a rather stressful one at times, but rewarding nonetheless.
Yeah, both. I mean, not very stressful. Actually, you know, joyful, I'd say. You know, I mean, asking a child who is at, you know, who doesn't have all the inhibitions that adults have, what does it sound like under C, and how could we create that sound using this instrument, is of course a delight. And also you have the, you know, you're in this privileged position of being able to accept or not accept ideas, or to push further or develop them or add other things onto them. So it was a delight. And I asked questions, and that's simply what you do. You just ask lots of questions, interrogate. Mm. What would it sound like? What would you, how would you play this? Is it low? Is it loud? Is it wood? Is it metal? You know, asking questions is a prodding, you know, is a fantastic way of getting good responses.
There you are. So if anyone's working with children, just prod them. And it works wonders. You heard it here from John Brown there. Other than the itch of the golden knit, which obviously the question I'm going to ask, the obvious answer is, for you to answer, is itch of the golden knit. But if casting that aside, what other than the itch of the golden knit has been your best, what are your most favourite projects to work on?
I've had a residency in King's College in London. Now, King's College London is a university with a strong medical bias, and I've had the brief of coming up with ideas of how music could match care, or how music and care, medical care in its broad sense, could come together. I was housed in the nursing school there, and so I made a big piece this year with several choirs, several hundred performers and orchestra and soloists, which explored that topic, which was on then at the South Bank. And many of the performers in that were mental health service users, you know.
Right.
So that was a big topic of interest for me, the idea of mental health, big interest to me, as opposed as it is to every human being. You know, everyone would like to feel well and be happy. And so I was working in the same way as I worked, let's say, with children on the Itch of the Golden Age. I worked with mental health service users to first of all, generate text, and the text that they generated was their perspective on their personal stories. And then I set that to music, and ultimately with orchestra and choirs in a big jamboree of an event. So that was and similarly, another one would be, I was out in Rwanda a couple of times creating a piece of music theatre with survivors of the genocide there, and again, telling their story, working with them to go, what their story is, how can we tell it, and then how can we add music to it that enriches, makes this more an emotional experience, etc.
That's brilliant. So it suggests that you're working on really powerful projects there, you know, something that's really making some kind of mark and is actually saying something, as opposed to just, you know, something fairly transient.
Yeah, I'm not, as I say, like, I'm not in the kind of, I'm not in the commercial sector, really, you know. I admire it, and it's vibrant, and it's a vital thing, but I tend not to be in that sector. I'm more meaning and writing something meaningful that is of worth to the people who come listen. Top gig for me, great.
So many personal highlights, it seems, and it was from our perspective in the Young'uns, it was an absolute personal highlight was meeting you, and it was just great, you know, because working with you, because it could have been a very odd you could have been fairly intimidated by it, and us as well, you know, coming from a more maybe classical world of arranging things on scores, especially when we said, "Oh no, we don't bother with scores, John." You probably thought,
"Well, oh, I've been longing." When you called recently, I thought the call finally had come through, that my membership of the Young Ones was being now validated, and I could come and join the band properly.
Oh, definitely, John. Definitely, you know, the you appear on the Young Ones podcast anytime you want to sing with us or compose a choral element. Yeah. You know, just feel free to bring 40 of your choir mates along, and we'll all have a bit of a party.
The three Young Ones and a slightly older one.
John, any time that there's a, you know, we don't just do pirates, you know, you might be thinking, the Young Ones, they just do pirates. No, we do all sorts of it, so just bear us in mind.
The David Eagle mixing DJ thing is something I'll be following. That's something I think is, I'm really impressed with that.
Well, I'll try and, you know, maybe the next mix, the David Eagles pick and mix that we do, maybe that'll have some smelly pirates in there. Who knows? Excellent, John. Anything you want to say before you go? I think publicising a website, because it sounds like you've got a brilliant arsenal of work there. So how can people hear more from you?
I've got a blog site but that's largely related to my residency. I have a website, but that is about to go up. When I say about to go up, I've been saying that for so long. I've been like a fraud, you know. I'm one of these people forever. Oh yeah, I'll get around to sorting that one day.
So will it have an address that you know about, or are we waiting still for that?
It'll just be my name will be the key element in the name.
There you are. Searching for John Brown, and who knows what other John Browns might be out there, but this is the real John Brown, the composer John Brown. Excellent, John. Well, thank you very much for talking to us on the podcast.
You're very welcome. A pleasure and a delight.
Excellent.
And it's cheer up, me lads. Let your hearts never fail. For the Young'uns podcast's here, and it's going to prevail.
We take to the phone once more in a matter of minutes, but first, Foursquare return musically before we speak to them. This is a very interesting song. It sounds to me, if you listen at the start, it sounds to me like they sampled the sounds of when you've left your door open, and it indicates that you've left your door open, that the lights are on. The ding, 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 that kind of sound. I think they might have sampled this at the start. Very inventive. I think. They might have just used a keyboard, but that's the boring. That'll be boring if they've done that. Rather than going out in the field and sampling a car, they've probably just pressed a button on a keyboard. You won't get that with the Young'uns. In the next album, I intend to sample all sorts of different things. I'm going to be like, our next album's going to be like Bjork. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I'll be sampling everything. There'll be stomach rumbling on there. There'll be snoring on there. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Anyway, we'll speak to Foursquare after we've heard this song. Oh, hang on a second. I think I've left the door open in the car. See? So it sounds like I'm very observant, aren't I?
Thank you. Jim, how are you, my friend?
How's it going?
Very well. Good to hear from you.
Oh, you too.
Excellent.
How was your bus journey? Was it fun?
Terrible. I've just got this GPS thing, which is designed for blind people. It's absolutely terrible. It's brilliant because it works wonders. I can now travel around and know exactly where I'm going and stuff. But it's terrible for knowing how rubbish the public transport system is. Because before, I thought that the hour journey from where I was to where I live, which I do regularly, I thought it was justified. I knew it was a little bit over the top, but I thought it could be a little bit justified. But now I realise when I switch the sat-nav on that I'm only 7 miles away from my house, and it actually is going to take me an hour. That's just not including the walking and waiting time at the other end of the buses and things like that. Then it's not so
just. You could have walked in that time.
I probably could have walked 7 miles in it. I could have probably ran 7 miles in an hour.
Yeah, maybe not walked.
Well, never mind. I mean, there's many listeners are probably thinking, this is brilliant. You know, I expected to hear, you know, chat about Foursquare and things like that. But I'm sure by your own admission, Foursquare are a bit boring in by comparison, aren't they?
really boring.
Foursquare. Really, I mean, folk music in general just pales into insignificant. We could do a public transport podcast. Have you any public transport sagas that you would like to impart, Jim? At all?
There probably is a public transport podcast somewhere out there, isn't there?
Yeah. They must have
really interesting lives.
Don't be disheartened, Jim. I know what you're thinking. Just because there's another one, we can be better. We can usurp it. Ours will be better. Excellent.
I do, yeah.
Have you got any public transport sagas, or should we move on and actually talk about folk music and stuff like that?
Yeah, let's talk about folk music.
All right. Just for the minority out there who have switched on expecting folk music, we've just played, and I'm gonna. What was? My mind has just gone like, what's track 8 called? The nice one that goes ding 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 ding. That one.
Track 8.
Is that track 8? The one that goes.
Oh yeah. Les. That's called Les.
Les. Excellent. Yeah. That's lovely. So is that about two gay women, or what's that song about then?
It's actually written about two gay women and their public transport.
They're on the other bus, obviously, and that's what the song's about.
It's actually written, we used to have a band mascot, and the mascot was to the form of a coconut. We stuck two of those plastic googly eyes on him, and drew a big smile on. And he sort of had his own kind of hair. You know when coconuts have like a bit at the top? It's the stuff that broomsticks are made of, isn't it? So anyway, he was our mascot, and then Nicola went and lost him. Pub Nicola's the fiddle player, and she lost him in the pub. So there we go.
And he's never been found?
Nope, we've never found him. Nicola went to the pub the next day to say, have you seen the coconut with googly eyes? But sadly, to no avail.
Well, it's an absolutely brilliant song. I kind of get the idea that, I think I'm wrong about this. I imagine I'm wrong. I think it's just probably a keyboard. But it sounds to me like, you know when you've left your light, that bit where it goes ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that bit. It was a lovely impression, that.
Thank you very much, yeah. It sounds like, I could do like one man a cappella versions of Foursquare, couldn't I?
You could do that.
I think that is
the youngest in a nutshell, isn't it?
Well, that should be the youngest, but that could be my solo project, though. Very lucrative. I hope it's not going to... I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't impede too much on your gigs. I think that'll be all right. Or maybe I could do the support slot and warm them up a little bit.
Because
all your bloody instruments would just be like, for God's sake, strip it away, lads, strip it away. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's what people would be saying. But I always think that sound, ding ding. I kind of get the impression, you know, when you left your lights on when the door opens and you left your light on in the car.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it might be a sample of that. Now, did you go out in the field, so to speak, and you know, record, do a field recording of yourselves in the car there, switching the lights on and off?
No, it is just a keyboard.
Oh, it's the boring answer. Never mind, I thought...
People have said in the past, I was like, at the beginning of a children's story, where it sort of goes, ding, turn the page.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Apologies to the listeners who are listening there and now can hear some... just so you know, I've got a mobile... It's very technical, this. I've got a mobile phone held to the microphone and the microwaves are making a little bit of noise. But you probably want me to shut up and you can, people can listen to that and you can sample it for your next record. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, Foursquare, absolutely brilliant. We're going to go on and talk about the album in more depth. I mean, what more depth could you possibly want? But I'm sure we could squeeze some out. But I think next time, the way to go is to definitely incorporate some samples there. What in terms of the songs, because it's absolutely as I say, I think the album's fantastic, and what's really interesting, and I'm gonna, this may sound a little bit derogatory, because we listened to the album a lot in the car when we've been going to gigs and things like that, and I was just about to say, but I think you'll find it quite derogative, I said it's good music to drive to. I don't mean that in the kind of the flippant way. I just mean that's when we've been listening to it the most, because I know it must be a bit annoying as an artist, because I remember going to see a band once and I was really into this group. There was a lot of nuance is going on the music, a lot of poetry going on the music, and I got talking to someone at the bar when I was at this gig, and I said, oh, we had a little chat, and I thought, this is great, we can talk about the deep and meaningful pertinence of the music, and he went, oh yeah, I really like them, good music to tap your steering wheel to, isn't it? And I thought, that's not the right thing I had there. Yeah, but you can tap your steering wheel to it, but it's also got a lot of other nuances and complexities and all that kind of stuff in there. How does the music derive? What happens? Do you sit down and go, ding, ding, ding? Oh, that's brilliant. Keep that going, my friend. Keep that going. How does it, how does it work?
Well, it's changed quite a lot in the few years that we've been going as a band. Like, originally, we all used to sort of get together when me and Dan were still at school, so... just whenever we could, really, every so often at a weekend, and just try and write stuff in the afternoons. And then I think it's sort of, as we've grown older, it's kind of got later and later at night when this sort of process happens.
Right.
So a lot of the time, we used to have a porter cabin sort of outside near where I live, so outside my parents' house. Right. And we used to stay in that all night and get really drunk and just sort of sit up till four and play and try and come up with these ideas, which I think is why... There's a sort of progression in the music, and that it gets a bit crazier, and there's some things that we wouldn't have originally have put in there. But
that's a very interesting. Now I can fully imagine what you're talking about, because your music kind of starts off, a lot of the songs start off with this kind of, not a simple idea of stuff, but it starts off reasonably formulaic, you know, you're kind of plodding along, it's nice, it's going well, you're setting up the various themes, and then all of a sudden it just goes bang, and it goes quite crazy, or it kind of develops, and I like the idea that maybe it gets a bit more weird as you've had more to drink.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of bands that do that. I mean, not that I know any of them particularly well, but I would imagine that Lau would probably work in a similar way. And again, that's no offense to Lau in saying because I love their music, but can sort of hear how it does that in the same way that ours does, I think.
And no offence to yourselves as well, because when I was saying that, I thought, well, again, that could be taken rather flippantly and suggesting that obviously your music just kind of is, you know, just sort of all over the place almost and spontaneous. But at the same time, it has that level of spontaneity, but it does seem like once you get the ideas, it does seem like you think about it, because obviously there's a lot of kind of time signature changes, a lot of tempo changes, you know, you're stopping and starting and things like that. So obviously it then has to be structured. Do you write the music down, or how does the structuring process work?
Well, we developed a form of freehand. The last time we had a big writing session, we sort of on notepad, in fact, on a computer.
Mm.
We sort of would write a big list of things down. So the top bit would say, eight bars of ding 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 keyboard bit, or
yes.
And then say the next eight bars would be like double time, or you know, just with our own sort of way to express it, and then write it in a list,
right?
As opposed to notating it. Right?
So you kind of wrote ding ding times, like ding times eight or something like that.
Yeah, basically.
That you could give that. You should put that as part of your sleeve notes, the original notepad sort of sketches that you did on the computer. You know, you're like ding, ding.
I don't know if we've even got them anymore.
How could you get rid of them? These is valuable. Valuable things. You could be selling these for thousands of pounds.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you could have raised money for charity. You could have potentially, got a lot of money for the research into cure. You could have probably cured cancer with the amount you could have raised for that. And look what you've done. Just squandered it away. That's the type of band you are. I don't even care about it. You just, you know.
I blame Windows for this misdemeanor because the computer died. There was nothing we could do about it.
It's Brian Eno's fault, because he noticed that you were making music, and when he heard the ding, 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 he thought Microsoft are going to use that for the next sound, and they're not going to use Brian Eno anymore. That's what I'm talking about. You're probably not even aware that Brian Eno did the Windows startup sound, and you're probably wondering what I'm talking about, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Did you not know Brian Eno did the Windows startup sound? He got paid loads for doing that da-da-da-da.
Oh,
the Windows does.
That was Brian Eno.
Oh, it's got all the hallmark, Brian Eno hallmarks on it there. Do, 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 do. If it was da 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 dum, that would be something different. But it was, you can tell it's composed in a way that only Brian Eno could have invented it. Absolutely brilliant. So, what kind of things have influenced you personally as a group, other than alcohol, obviously?
I think that's like an interesting one, just because they're constantly changing. I mean, for me, we've not written for a little while. We've been playing the same stuff for maybe a year and a half now, up for 2 years, in fact. So when we write new stuff, I think certainly on my part, there'll be a big influence from Chris Wood. You know, you'll hear a lot of that sort of thing. I've been listening to a lot of
interesting
bands like the Cinematic Orchestra, and it's all kind of ambient. And,
yeah, right. Yeah.
That sort of thing. I mean, we've taken a lot of stuff from a Swedish pianist who sadly died a few years ago called Esbjörn Svensson. So we sort of tried to put his sort of hallmark sound into our music in some way. Points. But then obviously Nicola has her own influences. Dan I know is hugely influenced by Sting as much as he is influenced by, you know, like a guy called Paul Adele. We all listen to him.
Right.
It all really varies, you know. It changes from month to month.
What about then, because obviously when you met, you come from a music school kind of background, don't you?
Just me and Dan, actually. Nicola did go to a music school, in a sense, which was the Fosbrooks in Stockport, which is more just kind of like a weekendly thing, I think. But then me and James and Nicola all went up to the Folkworth Summer School in Durham as well.
And was it yourself, Jim, who was BBC Musician of the... You were on the BBC Music Awards, weren't you?
That was a few years ago now.
Yeah.
In fact, it was 3 years ago. I suppose it's a biannual competition. Dan entered it as well in the percussion final.
Right.
As well. So, yeah, that's basically... It's a biannual thing. There's five finalists, grand finalists, so I was really lucky, and I'm not saying that in a modest way. I genuinely was extremely lucky to be one of those finalists. Like, you know, but in the percussion final, there were three better players than me, but that's just the way it just felt really nicely for me. So
we're going to play another Four Squares song very shortly, and in fact, we should probably, before we move on to the second item on the agenda, and some we are the best till, say the best till last, my friend, and it's obvious where I'm going to come to, but before we do that, information, how can people, you know, sort of visit the websites and things like that?
Yeah, we've got a website, which is foursquaremusic.co.uk. It's got a gigs list on it, it's got discography, it's got stories about us, it's got...
You definitely, and it should have notepad files on there of your things.
Yeah.
Downloadable notepad files, yes, that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's what should be done. Finally, before we hear one final Four Squares song, which I shall let you choose, I think we should talk about the Itch of the Golden Knit, my friend. Did you watch it?
I didn't even know that it was out. I saw on your Twitter, I think it was. On the Young'un Twitter.
There, which is just, it's a new invention. It's just been a couple of days ago we signed up with the old Twitter.
It's strange.
I haven't had anything to do with it yet. You'll be able to tell because it'll all go downhill. But yeah, you saw it on the iPlayer, did you?
Yeah, it was great. I love the pirate song. It's come through really nicely. You can hear it pretty clearly.
You can certainly hear us, which is
obviously you as well. There's no one else could be singing that song. It's so blatant, maybe the young
man. Well, an excellent bit of drumming on there as well. You know, because Jim was drumming on the Smelly Pirate song. Absolutely excellent. Probably one of your finest moments, I'd imagine. Toss up between that and the BBC Biannual Musician of the Year Awards, I think.
It's higher on my CV. So.
Higher, yes, exactly. Well, we never know, Jim. You know, this is a brilliant future. You know, who knows what other things, because it's, I think as soon as anyone thinks now of pirates, and immediately your name and our name are going to come up in the list there, I think, after that. Excellent. So we'll be doing lots of potential projects in the future. Anyway, shall we have a Four Squares song to end? And I think it's only right, as it is your group, that you should maybe pick one. So we've obviously heard Les. Anything else that you would like us to play out this interview with? And a particular...
I would recommend my favourite, the track which I'm proudest of, is actually the hidden track at the end of the album.
All right.
And it's a song called Young and Old.
Right, okay.
It's a Charles Kingsley poem which was transcribed by Laurel Swift, and I learned it from Chris Wood and Harbin. But it's a great song, lovely song.
Well, we didn't quite hear the end of that, because the form went a little bit odd, but there is a certain element of mystery towards that, I think. So, you know, we could get you to do it again. I mean, as this isn't even live, I could suppose you could say that again and I could edit it in, but I think we got some of it, and I think the listeners should try and work out what it was for themselves. Make them work for this podcast, for goodness sake. We can't give them everything on a plate, for goodness sake, can we? So there we are. We shall play Young and Old. And then, and I shall say goodbye to you now, and I think we're going to be seeing you probably very shortly at some festivals.
Well, are you at Sidmouth, aren't you?
Yeah, we're at Sidmouth, so we shall be seeing you at Sidmouth. Excellent, my friend. Well, thank you very much.
Smash it.
All right.
When all the world is young, lad, and all the leaves are green, and every goose is one, lad, and every lass a queen, then hey for boot and horse, lad, around the world away. Young blood must have its course, lad, and every dog is day. When all the world is old, lad, and all the leaves are brown, and all the sport is stale, lad, and all the wheels run down, creep home and take your place there, the spencer named among. God grant you'll find one face there you loved when you were young.
Excellent musicianship and excellent songs from Foursquare. Talking of excellent musicianship, when we were at a gig, we decided to have a takeaway after the gig, and I can't remember which place where it was. We were so fortunate, because we were just getting a takeaway, and we were just really fortunate, because at that moment, I think a choir must have come in and started doing a performance, a very interesting performance, inside the takeaway. So and so we're going to hear a little bit now, some real-life takeaway ambiance.
I'm from Darrowin. I can you play?
I love that bit at the end where there's like it goes on and there's a bit of a crescendo and then the man shouts, "Calm down!" And everything just calms and silence. That's real musicianship. Now, takeaways isn't a particular regular occurrence for the young'uns, but Indian food, of course, is. It's the perfect thing to eat before. We have an Indian meal before doing a gig. And I think that's the best way to prepare your vocals and things like that. But now, another report from an Indian restaurant. This time, we're in Whitby.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We are currently in an Indian restaurant in Whitby, and we're being served...
It's surreal, David, because everybody in this pub, including ourselves, are absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like being in a nightclub, but trying to maintain the English restaurant etiquette.
Yeah, yeah, they're either passing menus around, they're giving us folded, intricately folded napkins.
Weird, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, a table for four.
We're not even going for a takeaway, my friends.
It's timeless.
Thank you, Sean.
Timeless.
Yeah, when I did that joke, you did. It was a bit of a wry smile, wasn't there? A wry smile.
A what?
A wry smile. Yes, yes. Goodbye.
Are you ready to order?
Oh, yes. What's the lamb chow?
Lamb chow is tender, spicy lamb cooked in fresh green chilies. Chef's own special sauce, garnished with coriander, and that's hot.
Lamb corn, my friend.
Lamb korma.
Lamb ken. And, Michael, you stop laughing at my pronunciation. And have you got mushroom rice?
We do mushroom rice.
Excellent, my friend. That'll be brilliant. Well, who'd have thought it? I mean, the young'uns, we have many an Indian meal. And who'd have thought the best Indian meal I've had was at 1 o'clock in the morning? No, I don't think it's got anything to do with the fact that I was drunk. My goodness, the heat was pretty immense, but ooh, the flavours from that. Absolutely brilliant.
Good choice, dude.
Oh, the old lamb can, I'd recommend it to anybody. What do you know what the name of this Indian is?
India.
It's called India. We're in Whitby. The lamb can. Eat it. The old lamb can.
A rather drunken Indian restaurant review this time round, but next week, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking maybe that feature's getting a bit tired, I know we've only used the second one or something, but next week you're in for a treat. It's an absolute fabulous curry next week, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, before we leave with an interesting outtake, which will be a rather odd version of The Leaving of Liverpool that we performed in Hartlepool, just in a pub, and I managed to get it on recording, and I thought we'd just end with it. Something a little bit different. But before that, here's a couple of random recordings, some things that have just come into our heads and things that have happened. When I've happened to have a recorder in my hand, these are things that have happened on tour.
So this is the latest song that the young'uns are going to learn, and we're going to cover this song. I don't know if people remember this at home.
And what we're going to do, we're going to do it at a concert soon, and we're going to get fancy dress.
Yeah.
With actions, you ready?
This song's called Water. We're going to dress up as all the things.
Yeah.
Try
it. The eagle is the eagle.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure, who's going to be the proof? You want to be the proof
of that? Yeah,
you go. You've got to fly like an eagle.
David E. Swim. Growl.
Yeah, was he? Growl like a what?
Growl like a lion.
Leap
it.
From a salmon. Who's going to be a salmon? Leap. Who's going to be a panther? Keep up with me. We'll all be a panther. Walk like a panther tonight. Excellent. Excellent. Effusive response from Mr. Gooney. So this song, obviously, Walk Like a Panther by the group All Seeing Eye from around, what year was this?
Oh, it's early
90s. From the album Pickled Eggs and Sherbet. Absolutely lovely. Maybe we should give Pickled Eggs and Sherbet out to the audience. We could be an All Seeing Eye tribute band.
What have got?
Oh, my God, that was sacrilege to do that.
The picture of the album cover, right, is literally a jar of pickled eggs. Three of them have got faces on them. One of them looks absolutely distraught. The other one's happy and the other one's frowning.
Oh, my God.
Then they've got salt and pepper.
Salt and Pepper on the album?
No, well, they've got Salt and Pepper.
All right. What the
difference? There he is. Here we go.
Let's see. Right, here we go, guys. Join me, everybody.
You've got to fly like an eagle. Growl. Growl like a lion in Africa.
Leap.
Leap like a salmon pulled from the sea. To keep up with me, you've got to walk like a panther tonight.
And again.
Walk like a panther tonight.
Like a panther.
Walk like a panther.
Walk like a panther. Sean would do the next bit, wouldn't he? He wasn't so tired. So I woke up this morning in dire need for the toilet. My bladder was aching, and I went to the communal toilets, and I was told to leave by some Morris dancers who were getting changed, some Lady Morris dancers, and it was a little bit intimidating. You know, there was a group of them, and they all kind of, one of them pushed me out and said, excuse me, we're getting changed in here, love, and there was the sound of bells, and when you're just walking up, it was rather a confrontation experience. You don't want to get on the wrong side of Morris dancers. We finally just managed to get into the toilet after the Morris dancers had got changed, and we've just gone to the toilet. There's toothpaste all the way over the walls. What the heck are these Morris dancers been doing? I think they're probably having some crazy party or something.
Yes, I'm not sure what all that was about. Toothpaste up the wall in the Morris dancer when the Morris dancers had got out of the toilet. And here's something else to put into the equation. There wasn't a sink in the cubicle. Why were there toothpaste up the wall? Because there wasn't a sink in there. What was going on with the female Morris dancers? No wonder they didn't want me to come in. Next time, I'm going to have to smuggle my recorder in there. Leave it running. That would be a great feature on the Young'uns podcast, wouldn't it? Recording female Morris dancers in the toilet. Mike Harding's bound to love that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back very shortly with another Young'uns podcast and Young'uns news as well. Things are happening in the Young'uns, different personal circumstances we'll be talking about. It's got nothing to do with toothpaste, before you ask. But we're going to leave you with a little cheeky outtake. Thank you very much for listening. Till next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, Captain Iron Ears and all your crew.
Farewell, me hearties. I'd come with you, but I need a poo.
It's not the leaving of the miracle.
Thank you, man.
Christmas tree. But my darling.